Sportscast, June 3rd, 2020. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Periscope, and iTunes. And if you're in iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. And visit us on thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net. This episode is brought to you by Insta Bible app. You can download the Insta Bible app on the iOS App Store. The NBA and the MLS are close to returning to play after weeks of negotiations. The leagues are expected to play in Orlando with a different format. And joining us today to talk to us a little bit about the NBA and MLS, Ryan Krista. Welcome back to the Sportscast. Whoa, Ryan. I think reception-wise, I don't know if you need to wiggle that phone a little bit, but I don't hear you.
Do you hear it better now?
A little bit.
Hello?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, so Ryan, obviously NBA coming back in advance of the Board of Governors call Thursday that is reportedly expected to culminate in owners' meeting, providing a plan for resuming the 2019-20 season. Details on the league's proposed regular season resolution and play-in tournament have emerged via multiple outlets. Those 22 teams will be the current 16 playoff teams, plus all non-playoff teams within six games of their conference's eighth seed. For example, the Portland Trail Blazers, New Orleans Pelicans, Sacramento Kings, San Antonio Spurs, Suns, and Wizards will not be coming. What are your thoughts, Ryan, on this format that they will agree on tomorrow?
Well, I think those teams are coming. That are coming in that would exclude, you know, the teams like the Hornets, Wizards, and Hornets, Bulls, Cavaliers. Teams that don't really have it.
Wow, hold on, Ryan. How about this? Let me read the format, and I'll recall you again, okay?
Okay.
Oh, sorry. So 20 teams will be invited to Orlando to the 2019-20 season. Target date of July 31st to resume, with a potential Game 7 of the NBA Finals falling on October 12th. So Ryan, 22 teams are invited. Obviously, the 30 teams did not, which we were wishing for. You know, certain teams like the Knicks will not be coming, or the Warriors. Is this format? I mean, you like this format? Like, the only thing that, what are your thoughts about that format?
It's good because it gets, you know, teams that, you know, are still in playoff contention, you know, where the season cut short, you know, no fault of their own, a chance to where that can, and then with the effort of, you know, vocally like Damon Miller, who was a couple weeks ago, basically didn't want to come to be any chance of making it. Now they're down, what, eight or games they're going to get a, you know, 3.5 games back. So it's not a huge possibility of the bank, but there's a good chance, you know, that they're not, you know, going to be able to make it into the playoffs. So, and also it's a chance to never, you know, NBA teams to get to look at a player like Zion Williamson. And that's kind of something that you've heard through the media too, is that the NBA, you know, they want ratings. You know, they're not going to bring back these games. You know, the people aren't going to watch, and what's going to rock, you know, who people are going to watch it. People are still dying to watch Zion Williamson play. So you got that factor, you know, and it just, like, again, it gives teams who had good regular seasons, you know, who are fighting, you know, a chance to come back. I'm going to go back to the Blazers. Let's just take this. You know, they've been decimated by injuries all season. They're just about to get their two running backs back, Yusuf Nurkic and Zach Collins, who have been both out for most of the whole year. You know, so this team is healthy. you know, they haven't played together very much, but, you know, they're going to have a couple weeks training camp to kind of figure things out. So, you know, I think that's a team that I think people are going to be talking a lot about. And then this next month, if they get in the playoffs, they're going to be a tough out.
Each of the 22 teams. Like, you know, the East, yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, in the East, you know, obviously, you know, the fact they're only inviting 9 teams means that, you know, most of the East who aren't in the top eight have, you know, had very poor seasons and have no chance of coming back. You know, you got the Wizards who have had a pretty poor season themselves, not being available for most of the season. You know, their chance, you know, they haven't had the year that they're hoping for. But so you're not going to see a whole lot of the pull for in the Eastern Conference, but I think you could see a lot of
Ryan, we lost you a bit. Finish your last thought. Ryan, Krista, we lost them. Let's reconnect with them again. Each of the 22 teams invited will play out 8 regular season games for seeding purposes. At the end of those games, if the 9th seed is more than 4 games behind the 8th seed, the 8th seed is automatically awarded a playoff spot. If the 9th seed is within 4 games of the 8th seed, the 2 teams will play out a mini play-in tournament for the 8th seed. Single elimination for the 9th seed. Double elimination for the 8th seed. So what do you think about this whole, you know, little tournament to get that 8th seed spot?
It's different. There's a lot of factors in this playoff, Santiago. It's totally different. You know, it's almost got the same amount of teams as the NHL, but a totally different format. You know, when time comes to silent, I think, you know, our mind's going to be very busy trying to figure out what's going on in each sport. You know, where are they at? You know, it's just going to be definitely a busy late summer. You know, usually when we, you know, this is, you know, kind of, you know, towards the end of the NBA playoffs, a very quiet time now. Instead, you know, what's usually our July and August tend to be our, you know, months where there's really not much going on in sports other than maybe soccer and baseball. Now in July and August, you know, we're going to get, you know, live NBA and NHL playoffs, hopefully along with some baseball too. And then we're also have, you know, we're talking about too at MLS, but, you know, starting their summer tournament. So it's definitely going to be a lively summer for sure.
Definitely a look at. Now, the possibility that the schedule could also extend, like the NBA Finals itself could be played until October.
Yeah, you know, this is, you know, like when we talked for the last, you know, what, 9 weeks, you know, you asked me, you know, do I want the playoff season to continue? And I was very lenient, you know, when I thought it really wasn't going to happen, you know, there wasn't much movement, you know. All this has really happened in the last week or two, you know, all of a sudden all this momentum, you know, we, as you know, states are opening and, you know, states are opening with success, you know, and the spread is going down across the board. It just became a possibility. But there's definitely a consequence, and that's going to be next year's season. That's going to be this, you know, season's free agency. Everything's going to be smushed, you know, in the month of October. You know, I mean, I'm assuming that, you know, we're probably looking at a 2021 season starting no earlier than Christmas. Because remember, you got to get in an NBA draft, and you got to get in, you know, free agency.
Yeah, but the NBA draft might happen this summer. Also, the NBA free agency will happen this summer, I've heard.
Yeah, it could, you know, there's a lot of factors, you know, that go along with it. I think they do that, owe it to these players that they've told that, you know, they can go through a draft process and see where they're going to stand. You know, there's still, you know, hundreds of people's names still in the draft, you know, who are waiting to go through a draft process and see how evaluators look at, you know, where they are. Because you remember college basketball, you know, they go back to school and, you know, August, you know, so they got to know whether, you know, what are they going to do? Are they going back to college? That's where they're going to put their name in the NBA draft. So they definitely owe it to have this draft sooner than later.
Definitely a whole different year for the NBA, but I think the NBA will have a champion in 2020. And but this is good for some players, you know, just looking at it at a physical health level, some players that needed more time to heal up, you know, but still, coming back July 31st, they got like 4 months to play basketball, which is not easy. It is wearing and tearing the bones.
It's going to definitely be interesting because, you know, you've got the Milwaukee Bucks in the Eastern Conference or head and shoulders above everybody in the Eastern Conference, you know, from the whole season, you know. Is that either going to be the same level? The Lakers going to be the same level? You know, is this rest going to help LeBron James' older body? You know, that's a lot. It's definitely a lot of factors, and this is definitely. I don't think there'll be an asterisk to the championship. It'll just be looked at just a little bit different.
Well, definitely, you could definitely look at this format on the sportscast.net of the NBA. Reading it because this is news about like 2 hours that just came out. So this is it's pretty complex. It's like soccer in a way. It's a very complex format, but Silver is apparently a soccer format fan. So
yeah, we're just still trying to wrap our head around, you know, how, you know, what's happening, you know, how, you know, we heard so many different formats, you know, and I think this is definitely the fairest. You know, because you're letting a lot of people in, but you're giving a great opportunity to teams that have been good. You know, I think the format, you know, that it got a lot of attention was this World Cup or Olympic style, you know, league, you know, group stage. But that necessarily wasn't fair, you know, because they did play 60 games, 65 games, you know. There has to be some, you know, reward for teams that played, you know, had a good regular season up to this point.
As we told you before, it'll be held in Orlando. And another tournament, another league that's going to be in Orlando. Orlando's a very popular spot. Major League Soccer has avoided a lockout after the League and Players Association came to terms on various issues today, including economic concessions for the 2020 season, specifics for a return-to-play plan that features a tournament in Orlando, and changes to the CBA, among other items. Ryan Krista, how close was the MLS to have a lockout and maybe shutting down the season?
I think very close. I think if you asked me even, you know, a couple of days ago, they seemed pretty far away to making a deal. So
not as complex as baseball, though.
Yeah. It's tough, you know.
Let's not touch baseball yet.
It looks like, you know, the numbers weren't very close to each other, you know. You know, the players didn't want to give up that much, and the owners knew that, you know, and the way to, you know, the only way to play, you know, in this tournament is that they're going to give up a lot of money, you know. So it's a way to put a product on the field. You know, everybody has a compromise. It's kind of a no-win situation because they had to get a deal done, you know. NFL probably going to lose money, and players definitely won't make as much money. But it saves the face. You know, I think this is what leagues have got to understand, and this is what baseball has got to understand. You need to, you know, in this tough times, you need to be out there. You got to give, you know, perception. You know, you can give perception that, you know, you can get a deal done, you know, such as other leagues getting deals done. Especially when it comes to money, you know, when so many people in this world are, just, you know, having some financial difficulties, you know, you gotta have a bad face, you know, and this kind of saves it, you know. Like I said, I don't think either side is really happy with the deal, but it was probably the best they could probably come up with.
The Players Union officially approved the return to play plan on Wednesday. Morning, MLS Commissioner Don Garber met with media members later in the afternoon and discussed some specifics of the deal. They include a restart plan that starts with a tournament in Orlando at Walt Disney World. Garber did not disclose many details of the tournament since they are not all finalized, but said it will not be longer than 35 days.
Yeah. there's definitely a lot more unknown to the MLS than, you know, the NBA. You know, basically found out the whole procedure. MLS, they basically came up with a deal is we're gonna play and we'll figure out the detail later. So I think, you know, maybe they have more of a framework than they discuss. They're not giving, but right now it doesn't seem like they know a lot of what's going on, other than, you know, all the teams are going to Orlando to start up their season. So hopefully soon enough you'll get to see your intramural Miami in action soon.
Yeah, that team hasn't really, I mean, it, you know, started, only really played two games this season, so we'll see how, if they'll, they'll continue, but we'll see how it goes. Players will take a 5% salary adjustment in 2020. Players and the league will begin revenue sharing from a new media deal in 2023. Players will get a 12.5% cut of the revenue in 2023 and 25% cut in 2024 and 2025. Garber says MLS will take a like the MLS take a huge hit and lost almost like one. Oh, sorry guys. Wow, what's going on? Oh, Ryan left us one. $1 million. Ryan, you're still there. Lost you for a bit. Yeah, so MLS took a huge hit. Yeah, huge hit. One, you know, they lost a lot of money. But, you know, like we said, MLS will be back next month, I believe in July. So a lot of things are going to happen in Disney, but of course, it'll be closed to the public. Baseball news: Major League Baseball made official what was expected since this past weekend, informally rejecting Major League Baseball Player Association 114 game proposals, which was told to ESPN. MLB is not countering, which brings the possibility of it implementing a 50 game season into play. Ryan, it's going to be a shorter season than we thought.
Yeah, it is unique. As usually, I think usually owners want more games in sports and players want to play less. This is the complete opposite. You know, owners want, you know, players want to play 114. Owners want 50. So here's what I pretty sure is what's happening. Owners first give out a plan for 80 games a couple weeks ago, but then they say, we want to play 80 games, but we don't want to pay you for 80 games. We want to prorate that salary even less than what we told you before. Players agreed to in March to playing, getting a prorated salary, meaning that they'll get paid, you know, the amount per game, you know, for the season, you know, dividing it up. Then the owner said, you know, we want to play 80 games, but we're not going to pay you a prorated salary. We want to take even less out. You know, and the players said, no. So then they said, we'll take a prorated salary at 114 games, and the owners are, we'll pay you for the, you know, 50 games, because that's how much money we're going to, prorated salary at 50 games, because that's how much we can afford to pay you. It's definitely a grim look for baseball. It's not a good look financially. A sport that, you know, we talk about that, and, you know, who's saving, you know, MLS is saving face, taking a deal that both sides don't necessarily like, just to be able to make sure they play. You know, baseball, you know, MLS is rising, baseball is falling. You know, are they going to meet in the middle here?
Something to definitely look at, of course. You know, the start date for Major League Baseball is in July, but it could be pushed back to August. We'll definitely keep you we'll definitely keep the audience informed and, of course, visit it on thesportscast.net on the latest on Major League Baseball. The drama is still continuing. By the way, have you noticed when you turn on like ESPN and like the morning time, they're showing Korean baseball?
Oh, yeah. I think we're talking. You know, it's kind of my morning routine now is to watch a little bit of Korean baseball after I take a shower and I'm getting ready. It's not bad baseball. It's not, it's kind of, you know, I would say
It's not high level.
Triple A, kind of 3-0. Yeah. I kind of think it's about the third best. You know, Japan, you know, when it's at its fullest, it's definitely the best against baseball. Well, this is probably definitely a third best. You got a lot of players who definitely, the American players who said, you know, I don't want to play in the minor leagues. I want to go to a career where, you know, I can make some money, you know, better money than minor league baseball, less, you know, travel and buses, probably, you know, better life over there than you would think, you know, at cheap hotels and traveling to small little cities on a bus. So, it's not bad baseball. It's, you know, they're definitely skilled. So I enjoy watching it. And it's better than nothing.
Better than nothing. Of course, you're able to see it in the morning time. I believe it goes until 8 or 9 o'clock before Get Up begins. But, yes, ESPN signed a exclusive TV deal with the Korean Baseball League to fill in those sports gaps, because there's not much sports going on except the Bundesliga, NASCAR, and now the Korean TBL.
More soccer is coming, Santiago.
More soccer is coming. Like Ryan says, June 14th, June 17th, the Premier League is coming back, same as La Liga. So those gaps are filling in for the soccer. So it'll be a busy summer. Than usual. Like, we're seeing regular sports in the summer because typically it's just international tournaments or, you know, some other. Yeah, it's pretty much international tournament. Then not in the summer, not just baseball, not even start this summer. Baseball could start to the fall.
So I guess here's my question, Santiago. You were talking about creating pushbacks. You might be more into the English. What are they going to delay the start of the next season for, you know, these?
Great question. I have not heard what they're going to do for the following season. I imagine they probably start to like October. I know they're going to play through June, July. So I'm guessing at the earliest September, depending on the players and the whole situation. But I've not heard. Champions League will resume in August. So I mean, think about it. They did have a 2-3 month break, which is kind of a little bit more than normal time for a break, so they might play throughout the year.
Most soccer players have very little of any break, you know, because you go right
2 weeks max, which is which could be too much already by then.
You go in the end of May, you got some international competitions usually in June, and then, you know, by July you're playing in your league again, you know, families, you know.
I think
some sort of transition, I guess.
Yeah, it'd be a short transition, but these soccer players are all year long, and of course, sometimes these summers, you know, you have some big tournaments like the Euros or the World Cup. So this is not unusual for a soccer player to play in. You know, maybe having a 2 week vacation or something, but which some people say that's too much. But anyways, back to America. Three OSU football players test positive for coronavirus. Oklahoma State Senior Associate Athletic Director Kevin Clintworth tweeted Wednesday that over 150 staff, administration, and student-athletes have been tested. Three student-athlete tests resulted in asymptomatic positives. He said positives were expected and the plan for that scenario has been activated. Clintworth said in his tweet, "We'll be as forthcoming as possible on the COVID issues."
Yeah, you know, this is important, Santiago, because as student athletes come back to campus for football, like that, you know, athletic director said, there's going to be positive tests, especially if they're out here, you know, in any of these mass rallies going on right now. Like, you know, there's going to be positive tests. You know, like he said, they got a plan. Each campus has got a plan. I'm sure they're in some sort of quarantine by themselves that they can't leave, you know, until they, you know, are
cleared,
you know, negative for the virus. So, everyone, you know, this is what all the sports got to realize. You know, if they want to be, you know, go on to the, you know, move on with sports, you know, there's going, you know, in the near future, there's going to be positive tests. It's how we react to it. You know, we talk about that, you know, basically that test shut down all of sports, you know, in an instant, you know, you know. We have society, you know, quote unquote, flattening the curve. you know, some states are further along than others, some states are, you know, more open than others. But, you know, as a general public, I think we've all done well, you know, moving on. But, you know, we've just got to understand, you know, it's, you know, to move on in a country, you know, and open up our economy, it's got to be risk. And I am a risk that we're at, you know. It's a little bit of a delicate subject when you talk about it, isn't it? Because, you know, they are telling you, you know, you got to remember, you know, that you got to be careful because, you know, we don't want to put them in harm's way because they're not professional. So, you know, you got to, I think, you know, we can't, you know, do, we got to be careful with that. But I think you can be a little more aggressive in professional sports. But, you know, as long as there's not an overwhelming outbreak, you're definitely going to see college football. I'm more 50% sure it's going to start on time. I'm 100% sure that we'll see college football. But I think, you know, I would say 60 to 70% that we'll see college football start on time, you know, which is definitely a plus. I think if you talked to me a month ago, I was probably telling you that conference season would start on time and that's the only games that we'd be playing. But again, we're moving the needle in the right direction, you know, and it's definitely a positive for society in that realm.
Something to definitely look at. Of course, OSU is part of the Big 12, and Big 12 and the SEC looks like are the leading conferences that are moving headway into the upcoming college football season. Of course, the Pac-12 is definitely having issues, but I know the SEC and the Big Ten are leading the way and potentially playing within their own conference. That is a rumor, but we'll see how things go. Let's move on with the show. Pittsburgh Pirates, Chris Archer, out for the season following surgery. Pittsburgh announced Wednesday that 31-year-old Archer underwent surgery to relieve symptoms of thoracic outlet syndrome. The procedure was conducted on Tuesday in St. Louis, and the Pirates said Archer will not be available this season if Major League Baseball finds a way to put together a truncated schedule. Ryan, how significant is this for the Pirates?
He's an important player, but I think this is an important thing that you're going to see. I think a lot of players, realize it's going to be a very short season, and they may not think it's worth playing, you know, especially pitchers. A lot of pitchers are always up for getting these, you know, season-ending elbow surgeries, but, you know, when you get it, they basically totally repair your elbow and you have to miss a whole year. If you're going to miss a whole year of baseball, this is the year to do it. So I think, you know, organizations that are being, you know, more, you know, pushing players, you know, to take, you know, get these, you know, season ending surgeries, because this is going to be such a short season, you know, it's going to be, you know, and there's no even guarantee that there will be. So there's definitely a move ahead to get some of these procedures done. You know, Chris Archer was a very good player for the Tampa Bay Rays a couple years ago. He comes to Pittsburgh in this big deal, you know, to kind of save the Pirates, you know, a couple years ago in playoff contention. He's kind of bound out, and he's never really, you know, hasn't brought that ace reputation that I think the Pirates hope for, but maybe this surgery will bring back the old Chris Archer.
The Pirates were banking on a bounce-back year by Archer, who's 6-12 with a 4.92 ERA in 33 starts since he was acquired from Tampa Bay at the 2018 trade deadline for outfielder Austin Meadows and pitcher Tyler Glasnow. Archer has struggled to find any consistency with the Pirates, while Meadows became an all-star this past season, and Glasnow also blossomed. On sad news, legendary Volunteers coach and player Johnny Majors dies at 85. Johnny Majors, a towering figure in the Tennessee athletics community, has died. He was 85 years old. Ryan, what do you remember about Johnny Majors?
I don't remember a lot personally about Johnny Majors, but I've heard stories. He's a great man. Kind of an old school coach, obviously, you know, got a lot of his players, you know, had a big impact at Tennessee, but also at Pittsburgh, you know, coaching legendary young players like Tony Dorsett years ago. Definitely been a tough week for college football as they also lost legendary Auburn Tigers coach Pat Dye. So not a great week for
for coaches. I mean, obviously, you know, Johnny Majors was 85 years old. After winning the 1977 national championship as Pittsburgh head coach, Majors returned to his alma mater to coach the Volunteers, and he led the Vols to the 1985 SEC championship and back-to-back conference titles in 1989 and 1990. His he finished with an overall coaching record of 185, 137, and 10. That's a pretty good record.
Not a bad record, yeah. I definitely worthy for all the, you know.
That's when the Volunteers were good.
It's not that long ago, Santiago, that the Volunteers were powering in Santiago. They are recruiting their butts off under Jeremy Pruitt. You know, I think the Volunteers will be giving the Gators and Bulldogs that run for the money here in the next couple of years.
Another pass, another person that's who has passed away, Basketball Hall of Famer Wes Unseld. Basketball Hall of Famer Wes Unseld, who played 13 seasons in the NBA, just like Michael Jordan, has died after battling pneumonia. His family announced Tuesday he was 74. Do you remember him?
Again, you know, a little before my time, I've heard a lot about him. I did some research, you know, definitely, you know.
Similar to Artis Gilmore.
Yeah. He's definitely, you know, a marksman, you know, a scorer. Very crafty with the, you know, ball handling, you know. Did I watch him play a lot? No, but it's funny because my four-year-old son's got an A through Z of NBA players, and the letter W player is Wes Unseld, you know, so the name is very familiar to me, you know, so, and very familiar to, you know, longtime NBA fans, you know, who will remember, you know, the craftiness that Wes Unseld brought to the court every night.
And speaking about Artis Gilmore, we did a special on the sportscast this past week. Watch that video. It's actually on, like, thesportscast.net. About the Bulls legend. Before Michael Jordan, there was Artis Gilmore. One thing about Unseld, the Baltimore Bullets selected Unseld with a number two pick of the 1968 NBA draft out of Louisville. He played for the same organization for the entirety of his 13 seasons in the league. The Bullets moved to Washington, D.C. and became the Capital Bullets for the 1974 season, and then became the Washington Bullets for the 1974-75 season, and later the Washington Wizards. I didn't know they were called the Capital Bullets.
No, I remember them being known as the Bullets, you know, just the Washington Bullets as a kid, you know, before they became the Wizards.
That's why you watch the sportscast, because we got some interesting stats like the Capital Bullets and Artis Gilmore.
You know, I mean, he's definitely always important to bring the Bulls. Their only championship is a franchise, you know, back in the 70s. So.
Definitely the 70s and 80s, which most people don't really remember much of those times. People maybe, you know, back in the 80s and on. You know, while I was doing research for, like, Artis Gilmore, like, ABA was like the USFL. It was like a whole different league.
Oh, it's totally different. You know, that they had their patented red, white, and blue ball. There
is. And Ryan is dying off. Ryan, you're still there. Ryan, do you need CPR? I'm going to have to hang up and redial him, guys. Let's bring him back in. He's probably in a snowstorm. In Rochester. Oh, sorry. There's no snow in Rochester, as far as I know. But you never know. Maybe up in Alaska. Ryan Crystal, you're back.
I'm here.
Has there ever been a snowstorm in Rochester in like the month of June?
I'm sure there has been. Right now, we're not breaking records or heat like we did a couple weeks ago, but or we might be breaking terrible cell service records here. I don't know.
Yeah, you might have to upgrade to AT&T or, you know, maybe Metro P. Well, not Metro PCS. I do not recommend them. Or T-Mobile. I recommend AT&T and Verizon. I know they're a little bit more expensive, but trust me, it'll get you through the sportscast and some clients. So, anyway, anything else before we head into poll questions and the conclusion of the show?
It's definitely, you know, a unique time in our country, you know, and I'm not apologizing about, you know, we need sports. We need sports to get back.
Bring some sanity back.
Things that, yeah, you know, we need something, you know, to get our mind off of the craziness, you know, of this world, you know. It's just a tough time, you know, but I think sports can be that healing, you know. And the quicker we get back on the court, on the ice, on the ball fields, the quicker we're able to get our kids out there playing sports, you know, the quicker I think we can heal or so that, you know, we're not nothing to say with that, you know. I hope as soon as the weather, you know, it's exciting news, and it's pretty much healed, you know, not something, you know, happen, you know, we're going to have NBA basketball, NHL hockey, MLS soccer, and knock on wood, we get these baseball players and owners to get them together and knock out the deal.
Definitely, I definitely concur with your statement. I think sports will definitely calm down some things and definitely distract us. And just like last Sunday, I was watching the match. Even though it was just Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, and Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson, it felt very relaxing. You know, it was fun. I was enjoying my time. But hopefully with the start of course, the NBA is missed until end of July. Baseball, hopefully sometime in the summer in the MLS. But, you know, hey, we got the Premier League, even though with no fans, but we'll definitely get some distraction, some escape.
I'm not a golf guy, Santiago, but we have the golf coming up next week and the PGA Tour.
That's right. That's a big one. That's a big one. Who's, I quote the stars, like, you know, Spieth is coming back, Mickelson, Tiger Woods, like, who will be participating?
There's a couple of foreign, you know, Adam Scott, I think, you know, a couple of the Australian players, because of the rules with, you know, the PGA's enforcing players to come back 2 weeks early before they can play. So a couple of the Europeans and Australian, you know, major players on the tour, I think are still going to stay at home until they get closer to the majors, which will be later this summer and into the fall. So I think the first couple weeks you might not see all the stars there yet, but we'll get closer. You know what? Again, I'm not a guy who watches a normal PGA event, but it's a lot higher than NASCAR for me. I've tried NASCAR. It's hard for me to watch different bars, you know, but I'll watch Bundesliga soccer. But it'll just be nice to get, you know, regular sports back on our home soil. So.
Yeah, that's definitely – we'll see a lot of international play in the next couple of weeks this month. But domestically, the main leagues, the closest one for sure is NBA, and that won't be starting until July 31st, live from Walt Disney World. Poll question of the day, coffee or tea? Really simple. Ryan, what is your pick?
I would say C, Pepsi, but I guess I call it tea.
Tea it is. But the poll, people are selecting coffee at 64% and tea to 35%. That's a pretty wide margin, right?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I don't drink any of them, so I don't know. I guess I don't really know. I've tried both, and I guess if I had to, I'd pick tea, but neither of them really is my cup of tea, I guess. Not that much, but...
Yeah, definitely. I think tea has caffeine, but I always thought that coffee has more of a boost. It feels like I could get more out of coffee than tea. I mean, I guess people feel it, but I, you know, just never been a tea fan. Maybe with like
my wife is a major coffee drinker, so there's definitely a lot of coffee in their house.
Ryan, what is the best way to reach you to talk to you about the Pittsburgh Riverhounds?
That's a blast from the past, Santiago.
No, that's a current team. That still exists.
Mad Dog Report. Yeah, well, it used to be a rival of the Rhinos back in the day when we used to play. But Mad Dog Report 18 on Twitter. Let me know what the best cell service is, because obviously Sprint isn't doing the job, Santiago.
And you can reach us at thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net, or on Twitter at thesportscast1. Check out our feature on Arnis Gilmore, the former Chicago Bull player, legend, before Michael Jordan, before Scottie Pippen or Dennis Rodman. There was a man named Arnis Gilmore that helped a young Bulls organization back in the day. And he played for Jordan for one season, came back to the Bulls, one of the top big guys, center men in for the Bulls. Because the reason why that I, you know, did a special story on him, because there was a question mark of like the all-time Bulls team versus like the Lakers. And this guy named Arnis Gilmore showed up and no one knew who he was. And I did my research on him. And he was very similar to Dr. J. Very similar.
Yeah, very talented player. You know, a lot of good work on that documentary there, Santiago. Good work, you know, giving an unknown story to you know, a player that many people don't know about.
There you go. And we'll have more of that later on throughout the year, some special stories, players that, you know, no one's ever heard about, former NBA or NFL players. And that's what we at the Sportscast, you know, keeps it different. We're different from ESPN or Fox Sports. We bring in some true stories out there that no one's ever heard about. And we call, you know, have some interesting combinations. We got college football and soccer. Those two have never been combined, and the Sportscast is doing it. They're experimenting. They're coming together. Two great forces coming together, and that's what the Sportscast is leading on. Anyways, Brian Krista.
Talking about college football, or Dustin Riley, who's got a couple of interviews coming up here in the next week or so.
Yes, we got a few big guests coming up tomorrow. Big show tomorrow night. Stay tuned. And next week, a legendary coach we're getting with, and you guys will be pretty excited. Sportscast getting big names, but let's close out this day. Great show, Ryan.
Santiago, thank you very much for letting me hang out. And guys, sports are coming. You know, the world, we need it. We need Jesus and sports right now, Santiago.
There you go. Good combinations. It's coming back.